Thursday morning. It's hour two, and that means Mike Grimm, radio play-by-play guy for the Gopher men's basketball team for Learfield Radio, joining the program. Mike, as always, thanks so much for the time. They bounce back from the two losses from Iowa and Purdue. I was shocked by the way they played Purdue. I wanted to start there. You were there courtside, of course, calling the game. Were you surprised as I was to see them compete like they did with Purdue?
Yeah, I thought they played really well. You know, it's interesting. I wasn't sure that, frankly, the Gophers haven't played well in that building, and not a lot of teams do. Purdue's incredible there. That was the 51st time Minnesota and Purdue had played at Mackey Arena, and Minnesota is now 7-44 all time there. So they don't play great there, but Purdue's good. That it's hard to beat good teams on the road in the Big Ten. 72% of all games in the Big Ten have gone by way of the home team winning this year. So that's why Sunday's win was important, not just to bounce back, but also to protect home court, because it is so hard to win on the road. So, honestly, I was a little surprised. Certainly, it was the first time a Big Ten team was led at halftime at Mackey Arena this year, and they had a legitimate chance to win the game. I mean, that wasn't like just a fluke, and then they pulled away late. I mean, Purdue did outscore Minnesota by double digits in the second half, but they needed to win the game. I mean, it was a two-point game with 2 minutes to go, if memory serves me correct. So, I thought they played well, and that, you know, in a weird way, I am not a big moral victory guy necessarily, and I wouldn't count that as that. However, I also think that there's no doubt that this team probably gained some confidence out of that game by just saying, hey, look, we traded punches here with these guys and had them on the ropes for a while. Couldn't quite close the deal, but that shows there's some proof in the pudding there that we can play with anybody. I mean, there's nobody in this league now that if we play the way we can play, if they put a full 40 minutes, all that stuff, that there's nobody that they can't beat. Doesn't mean that they're just going to waltz through everybody. And obviously they got a challenge tonight with Ohio State, who did beat that Purdue team. Now, that was in Columbus in a home game for them. Again, talking about the benefit of home court. But, you know, they lost at Iowa in a game they played really well in. They had a 20-point lead in that game. And, you know, they had I think when you're up 20 with 16 minutes to go, your win percentage is like 90. So they're going to win that game 9 out of 10 times. Just a couple of weird things happened. Iowa got hot, coincidentally, at the same time they got cold. So in terms of the bounce back, you know, the bounce back was more mental than physical, because they were playing fine basketball. It was more like, you know, can we withstand the idea of losing? Can we not lose confidence? Can we remain confident despite losing? And I thought they answered the bell well, obviously, against Purdue. I'm sorry, against Rutgers.
Right. And you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to ask you of how much, you know, a game like that, even when you lose, brings you confidence. They looked a little more confident against Rutgers. Now, as for Ohio State, they sort of get this rush of excitement with their interim guy, with their interim coach, and they have this new sort of new age confidence because they fire their coach. They got to go play for themselves. All of this stuff. On the offhand of a moral victory and then gaining confidence in a loss, you have a hangover when you get a win like that in terms of what Ohio State is coming into tonight. Fresh off a game like that against Purdue, do you think that might provide them with a bit of a slow start that Minnesota can take advantage of tonight?
No doubt. I think that's on the table as a possibility tonight, 100% a letdown after a game like that. Now, the Gophers, and if that's the case, need to absolutely take advantage, because I think if you put this team away early and you know, jump out, I'm not saying they're going to quit or anything, certainly not, but they have not been great finishers, Ohio State, and they have played demoralized basketball some of the season. It cost the coach the job, you know, to the tune of $12 million to buy that guy out, Chris Holtman, who I think is probably a pretty good basketball coach, but things had gone funky enough there. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think that's definitely something on the table. I think, you know, you and I, you know, we've watched enough sports to know that it also could go the other way. That, all right, a fresh voice, as you mentioned, you know, you get the first charge of it. How long does that jolt of adrenaline last? And if you're a Gopher fan, you're hoping it's over. But could it be that this pushes them into a nice run? Possibly. There's no doubt they have talent. I mean, there's no doubt. Thornton's a really good player. Obviously, we know about Jamison Battle and what he does. They have a couple of big men and rim protectors that can score. You know, Zeb Pike is coming off the bench. He's doing a nice job. Zeb Pike, it's not his last name. He's the explorer. But anyway, the backup guy, he started all of last year and played through a shoulder injury. You know, he's been good as well. So they've got, you know, they've got some opportunity. I mean, they've got talent. So now the question is, can they take advantage of that run that they're on right now?
To help you out there, Mike, Zeb Key. That's who you're
keying. Zeb Key. Zeb Pike's a guy they named Pike's Peak after. That was sticking in my head. See what happens when you get old, Jake?
I know.
When you get old.
I got a ways away, hopefully. Knock on wood there for a guy like me.
Yeah.
I did have a question a little bit off topic here, but it's resulting in the Chris Holtmann firing and that buyout there. Do you think in college basketball, because there's been all this chatter about college football and that recruiting and the new age and all of that stuff in the NIL, right? But for a guy like Ben Johnson, yeah, and now a guy like Chris Holtmann, is it more about being a good recruiter in college athletics and specifically college basketball, or do you still have to get the X's and O's nailed down? Because I think Ben Johnson, to his credit, is very good at both.
Yeah, I that's a great question. And I think this is going to be a bit of a cop out answer, but it's this changing landscape. So now coaches not only have to navigate the recruiting trail in terms of let's go get good high school players, they've got to now navigate the recruiting trail of let's keep the guys we have, right? Because look, I mean, you don't have to watch Cam Christie very long to think that there's going to be some programs that have some deep pockets in terms of an NIL collective somewhere that are going to say, gosh, you know, Minnesota's Minnesota. I mean, this kid, we could pay him a bunch of money and he could come in and be great. So now you have to re-recruit. Now, I had Cam Christie on my podcast yesterday. He was awesome. Just an impressive kid. He doesn't seem like a guy who would just, first of all, if he was really after the money, he wouldn't have come to Minnesota in the first place, because there's
true.
No doubt he had, you know, he had other opportunities, I would think. So you hope that's not the case. However, I mean, you hear rumors about some ungodly kind of offers to some of these guys, you know, and particularly teams in the Big Ten that are paying big money. And now you're, one, having to recruit your own players to keep them. And then, two, you got to go out and beat these folks, or you're expected to beat these folks. So the hope is you beat these folks when, let's face it, the Gophers don't have I mean, they're doing okay. Guys aren't going broke or anything, but, you know, they don't have a collective like what an Alabama or an Illinois or an Ohio State. Indiana's one of the biggest payers. And, you know, we talk about coaches' buyouts. You know, what do they pay Tom Allen, their football coach? $20 million, I think, to fire him. And now all of Hoosier Nation is up in arms. They lost to Nebraska at home last night. They've lost three straight games at home. They have a high NIL. I mean, their roster was not cheap. And now everyone's talking about, you know, they got to fire Mike Woodson. And all of a sudden, I think his deal is, I think he's at $12 million to get bought out. So would Indiana somehow figure out how to cobble together, it's got to be $30-some million to fire both their football and basketball coach in the same year, and then go out and find someone who you think is going to be good, who's going to cost more than the guy you're paying. So that's all part of the changing landscape. So, yes, navigate the NIL to recruit high school players, recruit your own players to stay, and then the X's and O's. And look, when you get to the Big Ten, there isn't a guy in the Big Ten that got there because he was dumb.
Right.
X's and O's. So it's hard to out-coach people. There are times where maybe, in fact, I watched that Nebraska game last night, and I'm just like, man, you know, I like Fred Hoiberg. You know, he was here with the Wolves, and I got to know him a little bit there. And then I'm pulling for him, And I watched that game, and I'm like, man, they are really running good stuff. That team has changed from maybe 3 years ago, where it was, I don't know, it was more almost rogue ball. With, they had Teddy Ballgame and some other guys there that played, and it was, last night they were running. They were getting open shots all the time. Now, Indiana just looked disinterested. But, look, so that's what I'm saying. It's hard to out-coach people. Maybe you find some stuff in film. I thought you mentioned, you know, that Ben's a good X's and O's coach. I thought the key to the game against Rutgers was the relentless nature in which they said, let's just keep feeding Ferrell Payne the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And teams forget to do that. It's remarkable to me that teams that have good inside players will go long stretches without even entering the ball to them, you know, or they'll get them the ball 20 feet out and expect him to do stuff. But those teams that are relentless in that, and that's coaching. That's that might not be drawn up a play, but that's like, hey, keep feeding that guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not hard, but it amazes me sometimes how sometimes that stuff gets lost. So, yeah, I think it's a combination of stuff. Bottom line is players win. And so, yeah, recruiting is pretty important. No doubt about it.
It's almost, ironically enough, it's almost a good thing that Minnesota is kind of this smaller market, this smaller program, and they got this guy, Ben Johnson, unknown commodity, and he's working the program through its way up because people buy in early, and then he doesn't necessarily have to worry about the attitude throughout the team, and he's not worried about all the nonsense that is the NIL. At least that's hope the thought moving forward. But as you say, if someone offers you enough money, maybe you take it. I got one last question for you here, Mike. The key for tonight against Ohio State and the key to have some success to close out this season and maybe, just maybe, go dancing come 3-4 weeks from now.
Yeah, there's a path to get to that point. Uh-huh. It's going to be hard. I think it's harder than I think the number is higher than some people have thought. I think Minnesota's got to win 21 or 22 games to get there. They're at 16 now, so there's a path. I mean, it's doable. You got 6 regular season games left, and who knows with the Big Ten tournament? Obviously, it's up to them. You know, you're going to play 1, you're going to play 2, you're going to get to the weekend, and each win adds a data point that is a positive factor. So yeah, there's a path tonight. I always think one of the keys, we've talked about it, is shooting, shot making. At the end of the day, you can look at box scores and final scores, and it's not 100%, obviously, but if a team shoots well and another team doesn't, you're going to win the game. It's just that simple. Well, they got to make shots, and then I think what you hit on early, you got to determine what Ohio State's state of mind is. Are they in the middle of a letdown after that big emotional win after their coach got fired, or are they on a roll, feeling great and coming in? And either way, obviously, you're going to have to play well if you're Minnesota, but if they come in on a letdown, Minnesota's just got to stomp on them, you know, right off the bat. Just put your, you know, foot on their throat and demoralize them, because that team has had some chaos, and I think that it can be an easy team to send into, you know, some chaos again. And so hopefully that's it. Now, if they come in and they're feeling great, and they're riding this wave after that Purdue game, then you better match it. You better match that intensity. So I think early in the game, we should have hopefully an indication of where this game can head.
Mm-hmm. Going to be tough tonight. Going to be a dogfight, really, for the rest of the season. I mean, you're in Nebraska, in Illinois. You got Penn State, Indiana at home, and then Northwestern. So the path, as you say, it's certainly there, Mike. And Mike, thanks again for the time. Mike Grimm, Gopher Radio play-by-play for Learfield. As always, a pleasure to have you on Thursday mornings. We'll talk again next week.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Jake.